Well, in case you missed it, the Prime Minister yesterday placed health and hospitals front and centre of his bid for re-election this year. He blitzed the TV news broadcast last night to sell his plan, though he was not available for an interview with us this morning. Under the plan, the Commonwealth will assume much greater responsibility for funding public hospitals, which would be administered by a new entity called Local Hospital Networks. That's the centrepiece of the pledge. 760 hospitals funded nationally, but managed locally. A range of medical and business groups have endorsed the plan in principle, but there are plenty of questions still being asked. Primarily, question, will it ever happen, given the Prime Minister needs the states and territories to agree? Deputy Prime Minister Julia Gillard will join us in a moment, but first to Michelle Grattan. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Now, the Prime Minister's promising the biggest health reform since the introduction of Medicare 30 years ago. What is the trick to making this a reality, Michelle?
Well, to make it a reality, he has to get the agreement of the states, and he will be working very hard over that next month to do that, to bring them into line. That is going to be an uphill battle. If he can't do that, he's promised a referendum to get federal power for a takeover. So,
which will also be an uphill battle.
Well, even more so, I would have thought. So he has those two courses.
Let's go to negotiations with the states. Can the Prime Minister afford a fight with the states during an election year? And also, can the states afford to roll over too easily, given many of them are facing elections too?
A fight with the states, I think, is something of a bad look. He came in on the whole platform of cooperative federalism, and to be scrapping in the run-up to a poll is really not the most satisfactory way to have to deal with this issue. However, it's very difficult for the states, apart from the normal argy-bargy in these sorts of situations. Victoria in particular has difficulties. It has the best hospital system in the nation, and therefore there's the perception that if arrangements are changed, then Victoria could be disadvantaged. Now, the feds say that is not so. Victoria wouldn't lose any money. A lot of the features of the new system, in fact, would be like Victoria's current system. But with the November election coming up in Victoria, with the state opposition opposing this plan, it's quite difficult for the Brumby government.
Mm. Interestingly, South Australian Premier Mike Rann was ecstatic about the idea, and he's facing election in a couple of weeks. If Labor happened to lose in South Australia and Tasmania, that might make things more difficult for the Prime Minister too.
Yes, potentially that's right. Also, he is so close to an election that it would be better for him to take a cooperative approach as he has, and his system is not as good as the Victorian one.
What's the timeline on these reforms, Michelle? If the states do sign off them on April 11, which seems unlikely, will any of these reforms be in place by the time we go to a federal election later this year?
Well, the system would be stamped in, I guess you'd say, and legislation would have to be passed before the election. And, of course, that has its problems when you've got a competitive situation and the opposition wanting to differentiate itself, the federal opposition.
The federal opposition has come out, not surprisingly, against this plan. The crux of their attack is basically it's more a dream than an action plan, as the Shadow Health Minister Peter Dutton said, an election fix, not a fix for the hospitals. They're likely to vote against it, which would mean the plan will not get up because it's unlikely to get through the Senate. And then, of course, we've got the whole referendum.
Yes, a referendum is very ambitious. There have been only 8 referendums passed in our national history. That's out of some 44 proposals. Interestingly, Labor governments have only got 1 referendum through. That was way back in 1946. It did give power to provide medical services, incidentally, and dental services, so there's some comparisons there. But it just shows the difficulty of getting a referendum through when in that case it was a bipartisan situation. In this case, it would be hotly contested. You'd get the whole state rights argument coming out. It would almost certainly be in the election context and very hard to get the required overall majority in majority of states.
Okay, so first there'd be the premiers to get past, then the Senate, and then if none of that works, then a referendum.
That's right.
If you heard
hard going, hard politics.
Hard politics ahead. Michelle, thanks very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Michelle Grattan is political editor with The Age newspaper. It's 19 to 8 on Breakfast.